Maine Governor Janet Mills, in her budget address to the legislature, is defending her budget from critics, including Republican legislative leaders who say her budget is unsustainable. Mills told a joint convention of the legislature Monday night that her budget is responsible and provides needed investments in critical areas including health care, education, and public safety. She says the state's economy is strong and that her budget is sustainable.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. President and Madam Speaker, Chief Justice Saufley, Chief Francis and Chief Nicholas, Chief Sabatis, Chief Paul, Ambassador Dana, Secretary of State Dunlap, Treasurer Beck, Attorney General Fry, and Auditor Buckley, honorable members of the 129th Legislature. 3 months have passed since the general election, 2 months since the legislature was sworn in. Nearly all of our cabinet members are confirmed, sworn, and qualified, and they are here tonight. We are getting to work. I want to take a moment to thank the people of Maine for the outpouring of warmth that you have shown me in the last month. I have felt in my heart the very best of Maine from all over the state, the energy, the strength, the hope of Maine people. Today we dig out from tunnels of snow and ice, and we find the light of our days to be longer, our dark nights shorter, and we sense that nature and the world are moving towards spring. While we care for our neighbors, old and new, frail or strong, we care about those who need the most, those who work the most, and those who pay the most. Today we take account of the past and plan for a new and better future. Our unemployment rate is low, but our economy has grown more slowly than that of the United States and that of New England since 2010. Our poverty rate is below the national average, yet 1/6 of our children live in poverty. Our per capita income is growing, but it is still the lowest in New England, as is our average household income. Maine's public high schools rank 5th in the country, but the percentage of our adult population with post-secondary degrees is well below the New England average. The quality of our health care ranks 10th in the country, yet the public health of our citizens is ranked only 33rd in the nation. Maine has many assets, but it also has many challenges. We cannot afford to stand still, so this budget moves us forward. The budget is about health, it is about opportunity, it is about prosperity, it is about education. In sum, it is about hope. Health care is a major focus of this budget, and it is a vital part of moving our economy forward. You may have heard by now that more than 4,000 people are newly enrolled in Maine Care since January. People from all across the state in every district. We intend that expanded Maine Care will help up to 70,000 people who now lack affordable health insurance so that they can obtain preventative care, they can obtain early treatment for disease, they can remain in the workforce, and they will never again have to face the choice between medical care and bankruptcy. These individuals are not the only ones who will be helped. Expanding Maine Care and enabling people to have health insurance will also help our rural hospitals, which are some of the largest employers in their communities and are often the only source of care and often on the edge of financial collapse, because expansion will reduce the amount of uncompensated care that they are asked to provide now. In turn, this will lower the inflation pressures on private health insurance policies. We expect that this will reduce the cost of health insurance to small businesses, to self-employed individuals, and their employees, whose insurance rates are essentially making up the difference now for hospitals' uncompensated care. But that's not enough. We will work with the Bureau of Insurance and the small business community to find additional ways to lower the cost of health insurance for small businesses. Finally, Maine Care expansion will help Maine's economy. It'll bring $500 million in federal funds to Maine. I mean, that's like getting a new contract for a ship at Bath Iron Works every year, except that the jobs will be all across the state of Maine. This influx of funds is projected to create 6,000 additional jobs from Sanford to Calais to Fort Kent. All of these workers will pay income taxes and sales taxes, which will in turn help the states and communities' bottom line. This is economic development on a large scale. Oh, and it is the law. To support Maine Care expansion as the people voted, we include $147 million in the state budget over the next 2 years. That figure was arrived at based on the independent, nonpartisan analysis of the Monat report. We're also budgeting, just in case, for a $29 million Medicaid reserve account to cover any contingencies. These budget items are funded by normal income and sales tax receipts and revenues, as predicted by the Independent Revenue Forecasting Committee, pure and simple. That means no new taxes or fees. Yet that $147 million will trigger about $1 billion in additional federal money from Maine. It is the bargain of a century. And as good stewards, we will continuously review and manage the Maine Care program and evaluate the effects of expansion on health outcomes for our citizens, on hospital finances, on private health insurance rates, and on job creation. The budget also addresses other public health challenges facing our state. Among the most critical of these challenges is the opioid epidemic. This week, Attorney General Fry released statistics showing that 282 drug overdose deaths occurred in the first 9 months of last year. That is exactly one overdose death each day in our state. But those numbers don't tell the whole story. One of those individuals was 21-year-old Sean M. Yankowski of Bangor. He died 10 months after his own brother, his own only sibling, and his best friend, 25-year-old Adam Yankowski, died from ingesting heroin laced with fentanyl. Adam had overdosed before as well. He had been revived. He'd been Narcan twice on one occasion and sent home without any guidance about what he could do or where he could get help. Adam's and Sean's father, Maine State Police Detective David Yankowski, and their mother, Shelley Yankowski of Glenburn, join us this evening. They are now working with the Bangor Area Recovery Network to help others battle the illness that claimed their two children. I want to thank them, and I want you to thank them, for their courage, the courage to carry on, the courage to speak up, the courage to help so many others, because they are saving lives. David and Shelley, I thank you. Oxford County Sheriff's Deputy Matt Baker also joins us. Matt is a 30-year veteran of law enforcement. He has told hushed audiences many times now of how he tried to revive his own 23-year-old daughter, Ronnie, after she overdosed on heroin. Coming home at 2:30 in the morning after working the late shift one night in 2015, Deputy Baker found his daughter in the bathroom, slumped over the toilet, not moving. Her face was blue and she was unresponsive. Quote, "I felt her heart beat once and I started CPR," he says. "Basically, my daughter died when I was doing CPR on her." And about 3 hours later, he says, "I watched them wheel my daughter out on a gurney. This was my daughter who used to sit on my lap and talk about fishing with me. Now she sits on my mantle." Today, he's sharing this terrible experience in the hope that others will listen and learn as he brings up the little girl that Ronnie left behind. Matt, we are listening to you and we applaud you as well. Also here tonight are Robert Fickett and Sharon Fields from Bangor. Both of them are in recovery. Bob coordinates the recovery coaches, and Sharon coordinates the volunteers for the Bangor Area Recovery Network, or BARN. They are success stories. They are giving back to their community. They are helping others, and they too are saving lives. Thank you, Bob and Sharon. For David and Shelley and Matt and Bob and Sharon and so many families like theirs all around the state, help is on the way. In addition to making more services available through MaineCare, and with federal monies currently available, and with $5.5 million in non-tax money in this budget, we will provide training of recovery coaches for our emergency rooms, treatment based on hub and spokes models, purchase and distribution of Narcan at every appropriate venue, medication-assisted treatment, and resources for friends and families of persons with substance use disorder, and robust prevention and education efforts to stem the tide of this epidemic. I am pleased with the progress to date on these initiatives under the leadership of our Director of Opioid Response, Gordon Smith. Thank you, Gordon. And these initiatives supplement the vigorous efforts of law enforcement at all levels to stem the tide of drug trafficking in Maine. We propose other public health measures, expanding access to low-cost drugs for the elderly and disabled. And this is only the first step of many we will take to help our seniors in the coming years. We will be investing $10 million from the Fund for Healthy Maine for tobacco and nicotine prevention measures. It is critical to address the dramatic increase in vaping and other nicotine use among our young people. With an aim to get them hooked on tobacco and nicotine, we'll stop that tide as well. And we will fill the vacancies in our public health nursing corps, as the legislature already directed us to do. In this budget, we fill long-standing critical vacancies in the Maine Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, an agency that has seen a 25% reduction in staff in recent years. And for our veterans, We fully fund the Bureau of Veterans Services outreach program to prevent homelessness and hunger among those who have served our country with distinction. To those heroes, I say we will never forget you. In these ways and many others, we're rebuilding our public health infrastructure. We're also rebuilding our education infrastructure. The Department of Education has suffered from some degree of neglect. Look, last December, it took up to 6 months for the understaffed department to simply certify new teachers waiting to start work or to recertify those teachers already working. That's unacceptable. With staffing adjustments this past month, under Pender Macon, we have already reduced the wait time to less than 6 weeks, and we will not stop there. The Maine Department of Education will once again be a place that inspires, leads, and fully supports our schools, teachers, and students. This budget begins to make pre-kindergarten programs available to every four-year-old in Maine. This is a voluntary four-year phased-in program. The initial phases are included in this budget. We also provide $18.5 million of overdue funds to the Child Development Services to support the needs of our youngest and neediest children. For kindergarten through high school, we provide an additional $126 million over the biennium. That brings the state's share of public education funding, K through 12, to nearly 51% of essential programs and services. And if you include the state's payments towards the teacher retirement fund, the state's share of K through education is 55%. This budget invests in recruitment and retention to ensure that teachers in Maine will not be forced to leave the state for a living wage. It is time to treat our teachers with the respect and dignity they deserve. This budget ensures that no teacher in Maine will make less than $40,000 a year. And tonight, we are delighted that Maine's 2019 Teacher of the Year could join us, Joseph Hennessy from Piscataquis Community High School in Guilford. Joe teaches English and he has creative, imaginative curricula, literature-based, active reading, analytical writing, and public speaking curricula. Thank you for your service, Joe, and congratulations to you, Teacher of the Year. The budget also increases funding for adult education and for career technical high schools so that every Mainer can compete for skilled jobs in an ever-changing economy. So tonight, we also welcome the 2018 Career Technical Education Teacher of the Year in the gallery, Russell Clark from the Sanford Regional Technical Center. Russ teaches engineering and architectural design, and he exposes his students to the exciting things you can do with computer-aided design, CAD tools, 3D printers, and a laser cutter and engraver. Thank you, Russ, for inspiring Maine's next generation of architects and engineers. Now, Maine will not succeed if our graduates are burdened by debt and if adults cannot access continuing education. The budget, therefore, increases funding for the University of Maine system, for the community colleges, and for the Maine Maritime Academy. And it provides $3 million more for scholarships through the Maine State Grant Program to prevent our students from going into debt in the first place. Our investments in K-12 education are intended to help local schools and help local property taxpayers, but we propose to do more for those taxpayers. The budget increases revenue sharing each year of the biennium. It also increases reimbursements to municipalities for the Homestead Tax Relief Program and for disaster assistance, money we owe them from the disasters of several years ago, and it provides more money for county jails. Taken together, more school aid, more revenue sharing, more homestead reimbursements, more disaster assistance, more money for the jails. The net result is relief for the overburdened property taxpayers of Maine. We're also investing in infrastructure, because that's jobs, too. Over the next 2 years, we'll be able to pave about 2,000 miles of roadway, fix or replace about 135 of those old bridges, and invest in rail, public transit, and seaports. That will be supported by about $531 million of dedicated state highway fund revenue, leveraged federal revenues, and about $200 million potentially of state bonds. And to expand the economy, the budget further invests $2 million in broadband, designed to draw down much larger amounts of federal money to our state. It funds $5 million for rural development, and it directs funding to market all parts of Maine, not just as a tourist destination, but as places to live and work and raise a family all over the state of Maine. Our Department of Economic and Community Development looks forward to leading in the creation of a long-range economic plan for our state. The world is changing, and we need to define Maine's place in the new world. So we will work with the private sector and with groups like the Maine Development Foundation to identify our state's many assets and to build upon them to foster and attract sustainable farming, diversified fisheries, innovative forest products businesses, clean energy producers, high-tech industries, data centers, places for people to work remotely, and a quality of life that will attract young working families back to our state. The budget also allows for bonding for such things as broadband and land for Maine's future and other appropriate investments, and we look forward to working with the legislature on a bond package that fully meets the state's needs. Now, climate change is also a priority issue. Our Office of Policy Innovation in the Future is preparing a climate agenda, which I will be able to announce in the coming weeks. Suffice it to say for now, we will make every effort without additional general fund dollars to assist the University of Maine in the research and development of offshore wind power, to provide incentives for community and residential solar power, to promote energy efficiency and weatherization, to increase the use of heat pumps, to build charging stations and incentives for electric vehicles, to help local and state governments go green. Right now, Hannah Pingree, who leads the Office of Policy Innovation in the Future, is working with Efficiency Maine to develop a program to promote the installation of 100,000 heat pumps in businesses and houses by the year 2025. That alone will save $30 to $60 million annually in heating bills, and it will lower carbon emissions by 100,000 to 200,000 metric tons a year, and it will wean our state off of fossil fuels. We look forward to unveiling the details of that effort shortly. And then our budget bolsters public safety, which is one of the fundamental responsibilities of government. We do this by beefing up security in courtrooms to ensure the safety of those seeking access to justice. And we authorize 15 additional state troopers and sergeants to ensure a 24-hour presence statewide of our police, including in all rural areas. And we add 7 positions to the Maine State Police Computer Crimes Unit. As Senator Diamond and all of you know, there can be no more important purpose of government than to protect our children from those violent predators, whoever they are, wherever they are, and whatever their evil techniques. And by adding a new position in the Attorney General's office, we will help detect and pursue those who prey upon our seniors and steal their hard-earned savings. And we fulfill the promise to the good people of Washington County to fund a correctional facility there. At the same time, we continue to work with all community groups to combat the scourge of domestic violence. And we will no longer reject valuable federal resources for vital services such as domestic violence services, including substance abuse disorder funds, life-saving cancer screenings, funds for Alzheimer's treatment, federal funds for nutrition assistance for hungry families, children's health insurance, the Forest Legacy Program, and transportation funding. By some estimates, Maine has turned down almost $2 billion in federal money in recent years. That's money that Maine people have paid in federal taxes out of their own pockets. That's not being returned to them, but is going to other states instead. So my administration will work with the congressional delegation to identify every source of benefits to which the Maine people are entitled and make sure our people get their fair share. So, this is our budget. Now, there will be those who say this budget is government spending run amok. And there'll be those who say we ought to spend more and more. I respectfully disagree. Here's what I heard on the campaign trail last year. Maine people want better health care. Maine people want better schools. Maine people want better jobs and greater economic opportunity. And Maine people do not want higher taxes. This is a pragmatic, common sense budget that lives within our means and that delivers what Maine people want. It is based on the projections of independent experts on the Revenue Forecasting Committee of the previous administration. Those experts also say that revenue beyond this biennium is expected to be in excess of $8.3 billion. That's hundreds of millions of dollars more than what this budget proposes. When taken in combination with the rainy day fund that we have protected in this budget, Maine, I believe, is well positioned in the years to come. In short, this budget is sustainable. This budget is balanced as the Constitution requires. It makes responsible investments to tackle serious challenges facing our state, and it honors the will of the people. So for you, the members of the 129th Maine Legislature, I welcome your thoughts, concerns, and suggestions in the coming months. Having sat in these chairs, I know that you will bring your concerns, the concerns of your constituents, to bear on this budget, and I look forward to that very productive discussion. But keep in mind, in this budget, there are no tax increases. In this budget, there are no gimmicks. In this budget, there are no negative balances. This budget is pro-growth, it is pro-jobs, it is pro-people. This budget is for the small business struggling with health care costs and for some employers seeking a skilled workforce. This budget is for the parents who've lost their children to overdose and who are now raising their own grandchildren. This budget is for the families, children, and seniors living without basic health care. This budget is for the state workers who need the resources to just get things done for the Maine people. This budget is for the teachers who are paying for school supplies and food for their students out of their own pockets while earning salaries that are not commensurate to the value of their work. This budget is for Maine towns and the property taxpayers who've had to pick up the tab for things state government should have been paying for. This budget is about health, opportunity, prosperity, education. It is about hope. It is about helping those who've been left behind. For teachers like you, Russ, and Joe, it is about help for your schools, your students, and your colleagues across the state. And for you, Shelley and David, for Matt, Bob, and Sharon, and for thousands of other families, loved ones, and unsung survivors, there is hope. I promise you, there is hope. Finally, I thank you. Thank you to all the people of Maine, whom I love with all my heart. Thank you.
While Democratic leaders praised the budget proposal, Republican leaders told reporters at the State House following the speech that they are worried that Mills' plan relies on rosy economic projections for the next 2 years. State Senator Dana Dow of Waldoboro is the Republican leader in the Senate.
The numbers assume that this robust economy is going to stay at the same rate of growth that it has been, or maybe even increase.
Dow says Bill's budget proposal is in trouble if economic projections weaken. GOP leaders are also concerned the budget relies too much on one-time money. Representative Kathleen Dillingham of Oxford, House Minority Leader, says the budget also fails to consider that the legislature may have some different spending priorities than the governor.
I still do question its sustainability. The number that she's proposed, that doesn't even take into any account any of the legislative priorities.
The governor's proposal is just the starting point for the actual budget writing process, which now gets underway with weeks of public hearings and committee work sessions to negotiate the final 2-year spending plan that starts July 1st. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.